This past Wednesday was the second of the GOP presidential candidate debates, which had almost 23 million viewers watch the 11 top polling candidates. Let's spend some time focusing on the one candidate of those who many, including myself, considered to be the big winner of that evening. That would be, of course, Carly Fiorina. Joining us now is the co-chair of the Carly Fiorina presidential campaign, Loretta Lepore. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you here. And the website for the campaign is carlyforpresident.com. Congratulations, Loretta, on an extraordinary performance by Carly. And, you know, going into the night, because obviously, in, as they called it, the kiddie table debate from the first time around, she shined tremendously in that one as well. Going in, was there any concern on the campaign side that the bar of expectation was set excessively high, unfairly high, that it might have been a tough hill to climb before you even got started that night?
Well, I think there was certainly a high bar to surpass, and I think that was because of all the publicity leading up to the event, and there was a lot of expectation placed on Carly's performance. I would say inside of the campaign, we really had no doubt that she would perform well. I mean, we've been following her on the stump, and we've seen how well she's been performing in all kinds of situations. And she's had tremendous success. Generally, when people hear her, then they support her. So we felt fairly confident that she was going to do just fabulously as she did on Wednesday night. But I do think that there was a high bar placed for her.
To the areas I think she stood out in was, obviously, she struck a chord with her observations and her ideas regarding the defunding of Planned Parenthood. But I think even a more exceptional performance, and it was drowned out by, I think it was Jake Tapper trying to move on to the next question, but Carly was intent on finishing her thought, which points to Carly and her debating style in that regard, too. She rattled off, without any hesitation, specific numbers of military staffing that's required, or she sees as being required, at the various hotspots around the world, which I thought was really outperforming everyone else on the stage regarding that issue.
Right. I think, you know, there were two things about the debate that were important to Carly. One is that she went into the debate with only 50% of the American voters knowing who she was. So she had to identify herself, who she was, what she's about, why she's there, why she's running for the presidency. The second part was she had to establish credentials for the job. And I think what we hear so much about over the last 2 days is, wow, how did she know all of that information? Certainly somebody must have prepped her for that. Well, clearly Carly is talking to a lot of folks. That's what all leaders do. They speak, they get advice, they learn, they're prepared going into debates. But I think what most Americans don't know about Carly is that she's had a lot of foreign policy experience, security-specific experience. She was the chairman of an advisory council to the CIA. And so in that capacity, she was advising not only the CIA, but the Defense Department, Homeland Security, working with the NSA. She had the top civilian security clearance that the nation provides. So she's been involved in these types of issues for quite some time and brings that to the table as well as her business acumen. So I think that was a real eye-opener for the general public, those watching the debate, as well as some of the what you might call insiders in the political establishment.
Carly Loretta Lepore, who is the co-chair of the Carly Fiorina presidential campaign. CarlyForPresident.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Again, harking back to the first debate, and I hate using this term, but I guess it's an easy reference, the kiddie table. Coming out of that, Carly saw a good bump in the poll numbers, national as well as in Iowa, certainly, and I believe in New Hampshire as well, but it just didn't stick. What does the campaign have to do this time to make what I expect to be another huge post-debate bump for Carly, this time allow those numbers not just to stick, but to continue to grow?
Well, I think the national polling, it is, to your point, somewhat unpredictable. It ebbs and flows depending on a whole set of different factors. You know, who's running campaign ads, you know, who's got the spotlight that week, et cetera. But what is more important and what the campaign is more focused on are the state-by-state polls, because that's how elections are won. They're won state-by-state. They're not won at a national level. So when we look at the state polling, Carly has consistently remained in the top five in the early voting states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and then also in other states. So, for example, here in Georgia, where I am, she is also in the top five tier, and she spent very little time on the ground here in Georgia, yet has tremendous support here as well. So, you know, those are probably better predictors of the support base, because those are the states where Carly is actually talking with voters one-on-one on a consistent daily basis, where she's spending the most time. And we do know that the more time she spends on the ground in these states, the more people that hear her message, they generally tend to support her. So it's a matter of becoming familiar with her. I think what this debate did for her this time around, and being on the main stage versus, you know, as you say, the kiddie table, you know, it really allowed voters to see her with the top tier of candidates, and it allowed them to see her in a capacity and understand that she is quite capable for the job and can carry her own, you know, in this pool of fine Republican candidates.
You mentioned as far as getting the voters and getting the standing in the polls and maintaining those. As far as the financial side of the situation, once you get into that top tier and want to stay in that top tier, obviously you got to start writing the checks and spending the money. Financially, how solid is the campaign?
The campaign is on an upward trajectory, just like the and the fundraising side, just as it is with the polling numbers. So it's steady. You know, certainly we saw a surge after the last election, after the last debate. And, you know, we'll expect to see another surge in contributions coming out of this debate. But, you know, Carly's brought on the national finance chair. And so there are, you know, she's attending fundraisers around the country. And so, you know, we're seeing an uptick there as well. Certainly these types of performances, her strong performance in the debate certainly helps in that regard as well. And clearly fundraising is a critical component of any presidential race today.
Wrapping our time with Loretta Lepore, who is the co-chair of the Carly Fiorina Presidential Campaign. CarlyForPresident.com is the website. And if you want to donate, that is the way you can do so as well, as in addition to learning about Ms. Fiorina's stands on issues. And you can pose questions. That's really what our campaign website is supposed to be about, to be a give and take and a learning experience of both sides, the candidate as well as the voter. That's, again, CarlyForPresident.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Another thing I noticed that's, I think, helped Carly stand out and above the fray was she seemed to be able to steer the stage back to targeting Hillary and Obama. Now, some say it might be a moot point with Hillary, given her downward trajectory, and Biden seems almost certain to be getting into the race now from things I've been hearing. But to get to prevent the Republicans from eating their own like they did in 2012 seems to be an idea that too many of the other candidates don't understand as a negative. And Carly seems to get that, stop the infighting and start targeting the political enemy, at least.
Right. And at the end of the day, I mean, Carly has her sights set on the Republican nomination. And at the end of the day, she's going to face a challenger on the other side of the aisle. So she's going to be facing a Democrat. And it's important that the Republicans be pointing up, you know, where the Democrats have led us as a nation, and to highlight the failures that have occurred and the oversights and why we are facing some of the treacherous and unstable situations that we're in around the world. So she clearly is a very focused, very disciplined individual and candidate. And so I think her, you know, her ability to really direct the criticism where it belongs is resonating very well with voters.
Last question. If you look at those first three states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, what's the bottom line goal? Other than the obvious, it'd be great to win them all, obviously.
Yeah.
But what's the working idea for those three states as far as, okay, here's the acceptable finish for Carly in each of those three states?
Well, I would say that the bar is pretty high there. The threshold is to win those states. And, you know, clearly Iowa is the first in the primaries, and it's a unique situation with the caucuses, and she's been spending an exorbitant amount of time in Iowa for that reason, getting around, talking to folks in their communities, and really canvassing the state quite heavily. She's in South Carolina today. And she'll be in Michigan for the weekend, but then back in South Carolina again next week. So, you know, her priorities are set on winning all of these states. But clearly, the way that the primaries are set up, and with early voting, for example, it's going to be intense coming out of the box after the first of the year with Iowa first and then New Hampshire. But then you have, you know, a lot of the southern states now in this SEC primary, and those are six states that will be voting on March the 1st. But early voting opens on February the 1st. So people talk about this campaign cycle being very long, and we have lots of time. Really, the reality is we have September and October, and then we start heading into the holidays where voters will begin to tune out a little bit as they focus more on their families and the holidays, and then we come back in January full force. So, you know, the idea really is to be ready to go, ready to win those states as soon as we come back after the holidays.
It's interesting to watch in this election cycle of outsiders. We can, I think, safely say Carly is one of those strong outsiders joining the fray against you-know-who, and actually we got through the segment without mentioning you-know-who. How about that, Loretta?
That's impressive.
and by the way, I'm a you-know-who supporter, just for open discussion here, but Carly impressed me and got my attention as well. CarlyForPresident.com is the campaign website where you can give your support, learn more about Carly's stance on the issues, and even a little give and take is possible through the way that the website is set up. And that's a good thing, too, because open to the ideas and the important and the priorities of the voters, that's how you win the voters and get the votes and win the elections. Loretta Lepore, co-chair of the Carly Fiorina presidential campaign, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris, so much for having me.